Man, Father, that name, Lord, has been mentioned tonight. In that name, I have seen demons tremble. I've watched them run. I've seen them move because of the power of the name of Jesus. And Father, tonight there are people in this house that are saved tonight. They're born again because of the name of Jesus. God, we pray, let the power of God go forth now. Heavenly Father, give me unction in what I'm going to teach. And our Heavenly Father, give me wisdom, discernment of spirits. God, we pray, give us an open heart, Lord, a fertile heart to receive your word. In thy sweet name we ask it. For Jesus' sake we pray. Amen. Amen, folks. It's good to be here tonight. And I look forward to coming to the house of God. And just there's really no substitute for it. I know folks are watching by the internet. We're thankful for that. And sometimes that's all they can have is the internet. And as far as it goes, that's good. It'll do until they can get into a church house somewhere and meet together with God's people. Amen. But it is certainly a good thing to be able to log onto the web and view the services live, folks. They're watching them right now live, real time, exactly as it happens. And that's good. I want you to turn with me in your Bibles tonight to the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter number 2, and verse number 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse number 13. I've said to you so many times, if anyone should be conscious of the battle that rages, it should be us. And if anyone should be conscious of spiritual things, it should be us. You should never even consider looking to the world, the government, or anyone else to instruct you in spiritual things. That instruction comes from God and God alone. And that is ordained, and you're given unction by it, by the power of the Holy Spirit. The Apostle says in 1 Corinthians 2:13, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches. That is what appeals to your intellect, the words of man's wisdom. And it also appeals to your pride. It moves your pride, causes you to want to be accepted. It gives you that kindred spirit among people of the world. And the more intelligent you are, the more it'll move you, and the more it'll move your pride. And so it says, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. So therefore the Scripture says that there are things that are spiritual. Here's a list of some of the spiritual things that I've jotted down from the New Testament. There's spiritual meat, spiritual drink, spiritual gifts, a spiritual body, spiritual blessings, spiritual understanding, spiritual songs, and a spiritual house. That's not an exhaustive list, but it's reasonably comprehensive. And it talks about all these spiritual things. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 3, verse 1, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. Now a carnal Christian, and he's talking about a Christian, he said, brethren, a carnal Christian and a natural man essentially walk together, for they have much in agreement. The natural man cannot receive the things of the Spirit of God. A carnal Christian and a natural man have much in common. So that's why they, a lot of times, just hang out together. And the Apostle Paul says that I would come to you with spiritual things, see. He said I would speak unto you as unto spiritual so that you could receive spiritual things, but you can't do it, you're carnal. And so therefore he continues on how that he must give them milk and not meat. And you can't grow on milk. You can't grow. You have to get out of the milk before you can really begin to grow in God and in His Word. In 1 Corinthians chapter number 2 and verse number 15, the Scripture says, but he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. The idea is that a natural man and a carnal Christian have no real capacity for judging a spiritual man. In other words, they have no capacity for discerning, for understanding, for receiving the things of a spiritual man. A babe in Christ, a lot of times, will make the great mistake of thinking because somebody makes a lot of racket, they're spiritual. And that has nothing to do with them being spiritual. They just make a lot of racket. That's all. They make a lot of racket. And the natural man, all he can ever judge by is what he sees. And you'll hear him say to you a lot. You'll hear him say, you're feeding someone or you're helping someone. He'll say to you, that's what it's all about. Have you ever heard that before? The reason they say that is because as far as he's concerned, that is what it's all about. It's about doing something. And as this brother was singing just a moment ago, he was singing the name of Jesus. And the Bible is full of things that are written. And thank God for the things that are written. The law was written to get our attention, to convict us, and bring us to Christ. But the law was never written to save you. And many things are written in Scripture, in all 66 books, written. But the deepest and greatest and most profound are not written in that book. They can only be known as you draw nigh unto God and He draws nigh to you. And some of the things that are most profound and are the deepest in your life, you won't even be able to find words to describe. This is why the Christian life is like a thermometer. And when you look at the mercury in that thermometer, you'll see that sometimes it's low. In the wintertime, it drops low. In the summertime, it gets high. It's up and down, up and down. It should not vary that much, but sometimes it does. The Christian life is a life that should be lived closer to an even keel. And you're going to have times of sorrow and times when you're down, but you're going to also have times when you're up and times when you rejoice. But you should not be at the bottom and then on the top, but then down on the bottom again and then down on the top like this, like a roller coaster. That roller coaster ride will destroy you. It'll eat you up. The spiritual man, therefore, his life becomes leveled out because he begins to understand things he deals with. The apostle says in 1 Corinthians chapter number 9, verse 11, if we have sown unto you spiritual things, is it a great thing if we shall reap your carnal things? And this, of course, is referring to a sustenance. Carnal is sustenance, whatever they use to give them sustenance. In other words, food, housing, maybe money or what have you. That would be the carnal thing. Carnal literally is from the Latin carne, or from the Spanish carne, which means flesh. Chili con carne, chili with flesh. So the carnal Christian is a fleshly Christian. I don't want to be like that. I so many times am around situations that are profound, and sometimes I'm around situations that'll blow your mind. And I see the battle and I see the warfare that rages. I see people that are in desperate need. And they're in desperate need of spiritual help. And sometimes people have to go from one place to the next before they can find someone who will listen to them and help them. I'm afraid the Baptist Church has a lot of good things about it, but it's also got some bad stuff. It's got some bad stuff. And one of the bad things about the Baptist Church is its willingness to turn a cold ear to someone crying out in a spiritual need if it doesn't fit in their box. That's a bad thing. That's a real bad thing. And that's why I've always, they've always considered me a maverick from day one. The reason for that is because I'll go right along with the Baptist as long as they go down the line with the book. And when the Baptists go this way, I'm going that way. I'm going to stick with the book. And the reason I'm in a Baptist church tonight is because I feel convicted in my heart that the Baptist church, as much as it has it, is as close to the Word of God as I've found anything else to be. And that's why I'm a Baptist. Perfect? No. Baptist church isn't perfect. Don't kid yourself for one minute. No way, Jose. Have too much stuff in the Baptist church that leads to unbelief. And it literally denies people the when they're in desperate need. And I've dealt with people like that recently, in desperate need. And people so grateful that someone would sit down and listen to them and not mock them and not make fun of them and try to help them. Amen. Amen. And if you can't deal with the issues when they come along like that, then you need to get back in your hole, your closet, or somewhere and find out why you can't do it. Amen. I'm reminded tonight of how serious the battle is. The battle's serious, folks. It's not a joke. We're not playing a game in here. It's very serious. The souls of men weigh in the balance. It's not a game. It's not a game. That's why it's so important for me as a pastor to teach you the truth of the Word of God. If I believe a thing, you'll hear me teach it. I'm not going to be two things to you. I'm not going to be a hypocrite and get up here and act like I believe something just to be accepted. If I believe it, you'll hear me teach it, because I'm going to teach the truth. I'm going to teach truth of my heart, and truth as God's revealed it to me. So the Bible teaches that these spiritual things are available for us. But the truth of the matter is, we have such a coldness and a deadness about us for spiritual things. We would much rather feed our flesh than feed our spirit. And that seems to be the attitude that most people have. Here are three things that the Bible says about a spiritual man. Three things. The first of all, a spiritual man judges or discerns all things. He's constantly making judgment and discernment. Now, I know the Lord said, "Judge not that you be not judged," but what He's saying there is that you bring somebody before you, and you take that individual and you bring them into judgment before people, and you've cast yourself as a judge of humanity and mankind. And the direct application of that is the Sermon on the Mount, when the kingdom king is ruling here on this earth. The Lord says, with the same measure that you judge them, you're going to be judged. But you have to make judgments about which building you're going to go into. You have to make judgment about who you're going to walk with. You have to make judgment about what you're going to put before your face, what you're going to read, what you're going to be part of, your friends. You're going to have to make judgments. You make these judgments constantly. And you should be constantly at the point to where you can discern spirits, because that's the issue. It's not how sincere someone is. Not even really what they believe about this or that. What spirit is motivating them? Because if it's not the Holy Ghost motivating them, it's heading the wrong way. They may be saying the right thing, but they're still going the wrong way. It's got to be the Holy Spirit. And you therefore must learn how to discern the Holy Ghost. And you'll know when you do that, you'll know when an unholy ghost shows up. How many of you ever had that unholy spirit show up? And so strong, so profound, that you could, it's so strong that you could even feel it. You could feel it. And you could feel it even trying to take hold of you. The devil will go as far as you let him. And he's a great master at trickery. And he's also a master at intimidation. He's a liar and a deceiver. He can't take your soul into hell, but he can sure ruin your life and steal your victory and take your power away from you. And a Christian without power and victory is essentially null and void. You're just floating around. If you have no power and you have no victory. But a Christian that walks in the truth of the Word of God is a threat to the devil, because he knows his authority in Christ. He knows who he is. He knows where he stands. He knows this. He doesn't, it's not an arrogant thing. It is a thing where we have confidence that we know that our enemy is strong, but greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. It's quite a thing. It's quite a remarkable thing. But the first thing about a spiritual man is that he discerns. He must discern. He must have that ability to discern spirits. A spiritual man is not understood at all by a natural man. He can't understand you. He can't figure you out. And I'm talking about an unsaved man. He can't figure you out. He thinks it's all about what you do. Do, 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 do. Do, do. He has no idea that the source of your life is spiritual communion with a God that he doesn't even know exists and can't see. But that's the source of your life. And I hope you know that. When you got born again, You were transferred from a child of hell to a child of God. But from that day on, in order for you to live, I'm talking about live in the Christian life. Live. You can, if truth is, if you're born again and you're not walking in communion, you're dying. The most miserable person on this earth is a saved man that's out of fellowship with God. You're miserable. You're as miserable as you can be. I didn't spend 27 years miserable before I got saved. I enjoyed the flesh. I frolicked in it. I reveled in it. You know, I had a time in the flesh for 27 years. Then when I got saved, I saw a clear distinction between what I used to be and who I am now. And to try to go back to what I used to be, I know how miserable it is not even to pray, not read your Bible, not have communion. When that happens, I get miserable. Right off the bat. If I don't get a daily dose of communion with God, something starts hungering inside my soul. I do. I get hungry. I get hungry for God. God's the only one that can fill you and bless you and sustain you. He made you like that. Once He saved you, He made you completely dependent upon Him. I'm sorry. That's God. That's why He did it. He didn't just turn you loose on your own and say, do the best you can. When He saved you, He said, from this day on, you will live in Me, breathe in Me, walk in Me. Your life will be in Me. And if you try to live without Me, you're going to suffer and you're going to die a slow death in the flesh, and I'll take you home. How many's ever proven Him true at His word? His word's true. I mean, how many's ever tried to make God a liar and found out He told the truth? I'll try Him. I'll find out. Go right ahead. You're welcome. You'll find out He told you the truth. You'll find out in John 15, He said, I am the vine, and you are the branches. In other words, you live by Me. You live by Me. You have to have your daily dose of the Lord Jesus Christ. You have to. You have to. You won't make it. You can fill it up with good works. You can run to every church in town, go to revival every night of the week. I mean, you can preach in the pulpit every day. You can go and do all the good things, and that's all good to do all the good things. But that won't sustain you. You have to have your daily dose of the Lord Jesus Christ. You have to. I don't know how I got preaching on that, but I'm telling you. There's somebody in here tonight trying. And you just, a lot of people, they get all these religious objects around them. They got little figurines of angels, and they've got the Ten Commandments hanging from the wall, and got Mama's Bible over here, and they got the house full of everything under the sun. And they, as they walk from one end of the house to the other, it's just one object after another. But they're as miserable as they can be. I remember one time I was on visitation up here on top of the hill, and I went to this door, and this woman took us in. She said, "Here's my altar." And I thought, I've never seen anything like that before. But she wanted us to see her altar. And it's quite an altar. But I thought to myself, something strange about this. But she wanted us to see her altar. Well, the Bible says we have an altar they know not of that serve the tabernacle. You know that? Like Elizabeth Barrett Browning said, every place you put your foot is holy ground. And that's exactly right. It's holy ground. I can make an altar that fast. I can get on a bus and there'll be an altar. Get off that bus, altar's gone. But when I get on that bus, there can be an altar right there. Amen. Natural man can't understand. Thirdly, the spiritual man has the mind of Christ. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Luke 9 says, and He said to them all, if any man will come after Me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily and follow Me. Romans 8 says, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. To be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. So the spiritual man, and the spiritual man is the man who can go to warfare for you. He can go to war for you. The Bible says in the book of Galatians, chapter number 6, you which are spiritual, ye which are spiritual among you, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering yourself also. That's that spiritual discernment. You know that a spiritual man knows that he can still fall. See? Ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself also. See the connection? He's spiritual, he's matured, but he still never crossed the point where he knows he can still fall. See? That's spirituality. It's humility. It's humbleness. There's power in humility. There's power in it. And the greatest thing we're lacking in the church today is power. God, give us power. Give us power. I've seen power manifested in the last couple of days. I knew the power was real. I just saw someone get a hold of it and use it. And I saw it manifested. And the eyes light up. When the power of God is manifested, somebody said, "My!" It's almost like a whole new world has just exploded before their eyes. And for years, they sit in churches that just kind of brush around and feed out a little bit of look good, do good, smell good, pretty Christianity. But not the kind that gets down in the trenches and deals with the issues that you have to deal with. You know, you have to get in the trenches sometimes. You know what a trench is, don't you? World War I was famous for, or infamous, I guess you'd say, for trenches. It was trench warfare. And that's when you get down in there, it gets down and dirty in the trenches. And that's what the war is about. But it's seeing that power. Can you imagine that the world has no respect for the name of Jesus, but the spirit world does? Yeah, that's right. The one you can't see with your eye, but you know he's there, he respects the name of Jesus if it comes out of the mouth of a real believer. Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you? You remember that one? Sceva had seven sons, and they considered themselves exorcists. Boy, they got in trouble, didn't they? They got in big time trouble. It's a good thing to know that your name is known in hell, isn't it? Do they know who you are in hell? Have you made enough, have you stirred up enough where hell knows who you are? Have they put you down on the wall as one of their enemies? Have you made enough of a racket and stirred up enough of the spiritual power, done something enough for God to where the demons begin to talk among themselves? Well, he's real. You want to mess with him, you go right ahead, but you've got a battle on your hands. Why not leave him alone and go for this one over here? He's loud, he's pretty, but that's all he is. Get him. Yeah. 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 This church has been blessed. It's going to be blessed more. I don't know what God's going to do in here, but he's going to do something. He has. He is. This is one place that I marvel how that people have been saved in here that didn't know they were lost when they came in, and then they get saved. I say that to rejoice. Amen. Hallelujah to God. What greater thing could any church say than somebody came in there and got saved? Amen. And it makes you feel sorry for churches where people just go Sunday after Sunday and they never feel conviction. Never feel it. The reason they don't is because a fellow in the pulpit doesn't know anything about conviction. The fellow in the pulpit's unsaved himself. There's nothing boring about the Christian life. There really isn't. Carnality's boring. Do you know how boring the flesh is? This is why they have to be excited all the time. Do you realize that you can go somewhere just you and God and have the time of your life? Just you and God. Just you and God. And I mean, come away from there and your face glowing and your heart full of fire and your soul fed, and you're ready to walk on water, just you and God. You can do that. But you take an unsaved man, turn him loose like that, he's bored to death. You know why he's bored to death? He has to be excited. He has to have something moving around him. He's got to have something stirring. Let's party. They want to party. Let's party. The reason they want to party is because they're bored to death. Religion's boring. Religion's one of the most boring things in the world. Now, you might like all the religious paraphernalia, and we don't have a whole lot in here. We got a little bit, not a whole lot. But some churches is loaded with it. Religious paraphernalia. I mean loaded with it. Some folks will walk by and they'll touch it, kiss their hand, touch that, and touch this and touch that, and on the way they'll touch. A lot of that's out of superstition, you know, and they mean well. But the truth of the matter is they're doing all of this from something external because they don't have power in here. This thing could blow away. We can meet out here under a bush somewhere. And the power of God would probably be more real. News media come along, they'll bring their cameras down and they'll stick their microphone. What are you going to do? Your building's gone. Do you believe, still believe in God? That's the idea. You know, I mean, look at this. Here you are, people of faith, and you're trying to do the right thing and do good deeds, and now your building's gone. It's obvious that your God doesn't really care anything about you. He wouldn't let this happen. I love for those old souls that look into that camera and say, honey, the good Lord's going to be here, house or no house. It didn't blow him away, just the house. Amen. No, this building is not the Lord. This building is for our convenience too, by the way. You don't think really the Lord has to be air conditioned, do you? You don't really believe he needs these lights on, do you? No. And he that keepeth Israel neither slumbers nor sleeps. Never gets tired. Building's for you. Okay? No, we built this building for the Lord. No. Well, after you're all out of here tonight, do you think the good Lord's going to stretch out on one of these benches in here and rest? Live here in his house? No, that house of God's a spiritual thing. But it's a big deal to him when it comes together. Because right now, there is a body of believers in here. It's like you've lived long enough to know. Have you ever seen the crowd mentality? You ever watched the crowd mentality? Okay, you know what I'm talking about? The crowd mentality is not individual. You get some guy up in front of a crowd and he'll scream out something, yeah, and everybody jumps in, and it's the crowd mentality, okay? It's the spirit that joins them all together. They've got that crowd mentality. But there is something about getting a group of people together, it takes on an identity. See? It does. Well, that's what the body of Christ is about. We came in here together tonight in the name of Jesus. His body is in this building right now. His body is operating in the power of the Spirit in this building tonight. And his body is in here functioning the way the Holy Ghost intends for it to be. And it takes on its own identity. And for a while we're gathered together in this house, God says, I am in your midst. It becomes the habitation of God through the Spirit. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. It's not about rah, 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 go. Go Vols, go Vols. Whatever. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ, right? Amen. That's what it's about, okay? This is what I mean about the assembling of yourselves together. The church takes on an identity. And you can watch the very life and spirit of that church as you observe how it comes together, and watch the spirit of that church as a body, not the individual believers, but as a body. That's what we are. That's what we are here on Woodrow Drive. Now, what spirit do we have in here? Do we have the spirit of exaltation of man? Do we have the spirit in this house tonight where it's all about stuff and things? Do we have the spirit in this house tonight where we are in competition with other churches? Do we have the spirit in this house tonight where we're trying to, may have an agenda that overrules the real reason for us being here, some political agenda or what have you? Or are we in this house tonight to exalt the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? That's right. And God will bless that. God will bless that. Amen. So let it be. May God bless His Son, who is blessed forevermore. Bless the name of Jesus. Bless His holy name. Bless Him. You can't curse Him. Even if you don't believe in Him. Even if you reject Him. Even if you never mention His name again in your life or ever hear the gospel, let me tell you something. Jesus Christ is blessed forevermore. He arose from the dead. And He's seated at the right hand of the power on high. And He's coming as King of kings and Lord of lords. He's the Lord God Almighty. Blessed be the name of the Son of God. Hallelujah to His name. Bless the name. Father, in Jesus' name, we love You. We love that name. Glory to that name. Let that name ring throughout this building. Let the name of Jesus be primary, preeminent in everything, in every way. Let the name of Jesus be all that this is about. Everything that we do, let it relate to the name of Jesus. Everything that we are, let it relate to the name of Jesus. Everything we ever hope to be, all our hope, all our future, all our life, is in the name of the Son of God. Bless the name. Holy One, these are Thy people, blessed God. God, touch them and move their spirit. God, give them that spirit, that union, that fellowship, that communion that we have as a body that we're coming together with right now at this moment in this house as we commune together, not as individual believers, but as a unity of believers, as the church of God. Hallelujah. That's Thy church, Thy body, Thy bride. In Thy holy name we pray. For Jesus' sake we ask it. Hallelujah. Amen. Hey. Amen. Part of the bride of Christ. I was a child of hell for 27 years. Now thank God what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon me. That I could be called the Son of God. Oh boy. The natural man would say, who does he think he is? He doesn't understand. You can't make him understand. Don't try to make him understand. Just preach Jesus to him. Amen. I'm shut up. I'm done.